I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Blessing to be here this morning. I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 21 in verse 28 for a text verse. The words of Jesus here, where he said, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I've titled the message this morning, "Redemption or Destruction." I'd like to read this chapter, Luke 21, to get the setting here of what Jesus was saying. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, that was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, And at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. If we look at the first part of the chapter, we see what brought about the beginning or this teaching that Jesus gave concerning, I think part of it was concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, and the rest, some of it was concerning the end time, judgment, when Jesus is going to return. It was had to do with money to start with. As he observed these people giving their money into the treasury, he took note how that there were many that had, or there were some that had a lot that, you know, threw in a lot of money. And possibly there was quite a jingle as the coins went in. I don't know. But he's noticed this widow as she came, and she put in 2 mites, which is, you know, what we could say 2 pennies. And he was saying, or he told the people here, that this widow gave more than what all the rest of them had, because that she had given everything that she had. She had given her whole living. And then some of them brought his attention to the temple and how that it was adorned with all these goodly stones and gifts. And I think, you know, there was gold, a lot of gold in the temple, you know, when it was built. And he said, well, these things are not going to last. He said, there's going to be a time when there won't be one stone of the temple left on top of another. And if I have it correct, I think Simon might know, the book Josephus maybe brings that out, how that the gold in the fire of the temple, when the temple was burned, the gold melted and ran between the stones. And that they took those stones all apart to get the gold out from between the stones. Do I have that correct? I think that's the way I remember. I'm not a historian by no means, but that is interesting how that prophecy that Jesus prophesied came true later in AD 70 or whenever that was, that this happened. But the point being, as Jesus went on talking here, he was giving us the example, the prophecy of what is going to happen. And there are only 2 places that people, our spirits, are going to be. We're either going to be in redemption or we're going to be in destruction. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. There will not be an in-between. It is one or the other. And the only way to be redeemed, I did not look up the definition of the word redeemed, but to me, redeemed means something that was given away or that was taken away and it has been bought back. And, you know, the scriptures talk about being reconciled to God, you know, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We belong to God, actually, but because of our sin, because of choices, wrong choices that we made, we have separated ourselves from God. We have moved away from God. We have sold ourselves out to sin and to Satan. We have sold ourselves out on the side of destruction by choosing to do that. But when we come back to a saving knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ, and believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and the power of his blood to forgive us from our sin, he redeems us, he buys us back, and he makes us one of his own again, where we really belong in the first place. And that is on the side of redemption. And that is what Jesus brings out so clearly in this chapter, is that we will be on either one side or the other. We will be in his side of being redeemed, of being in redemption, or we will be on the devil's side in destruction. And the Bible is clear that hell was not prepared for people, but hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But because God has given us choice and we make choices, we can choose whether we want to be on God's side in redemption or whether we want to be in hell with Satan in destruction. The choice is ours. Now, this morning when we came to church, just across the road from the gate out here in the pasture, there were like 8 heifers, Holstein heifers, that were out in that cornfield. I don't know for sure where they belong, but I'm assuming they belonged in the pasture over here. So I called Mike Sumner, and I told him, you've got some cows out. And sometime later, there were several vehicles that came by. And by that time, those cattle had gone over the hill back towards the woods. And we couldn't see them anymore. I wasn't sure where they were. Reminded me of when I was at home on the farm, a teenager. We had a cow, and I'm not sure what crossbreed she was, but she was kind of a pink color, pink mottled and white, possibly a Charolais and Hereford cross, I'm not sure. But we called her Roni. I'm not sure, like a macaroni, I'm not sure where the name came from. But she was one of the worst cows when there was a weak spot in the fence to get out. And she had a calf one spring, a nice young black bull calf with a little white spot on his forehead about this big around. And we called him Flashlight. And we decided we want to keep him for our bull. Well, that was a mistake, because he inherited that gene 10 times worse than Roni of wanting to get out. And I don't know how many times that bull got out, and we'd have to chase him down, you know, with a shotgun and tractor and whatever to get him back in. And in thinking about that, you know, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know, that corn, I'm sure, looked and probably tasted pretty good to those Holstein heifers. But coming outside of that, you know, those cattle were headed for destruction. That bull, when he came out, we finally ended up hauling him off to destruction. He was butchered. He became hamburger because of his wrong trait, his wrong choices. You know, he had the choice of staying in the fence. There was plenty of grass in there. There was plenty to eat. But he made the choice to get out time and again. And the same thing is true for us as people, as human, as mankind, as believers, or whether we choose to believe. I actually believe faith is a choice. We can choose whether we're going to believe, or we can choose that we're going to ignore that and we're going to say we don't believe. That is a choice that God has given us. But ultimately, the choices that we make are going to end up in redemption or destruction, depending what we choose. And, you know, we like to think that we've got a lot of time here. In 2 Peter 3, it talks about the scoffers that say, where is this God? Where is the promise of this coming Savior? Where is the promise of this end of life? And they choose to scoff at the idea of a returning Savior. They choose to not believe that. Well, guess where they are headed? The Bible is so clear. They are headed to destruction if they continue to choose to believe that. They are headed to destruction. The grass may look greener on the other side of the fence, but it leads to destruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction. When you are proud, you think you've got the answers. You've got it together. It says, in a haughty spirit before a fall, you are setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for destruction. When you think you've got it figured out and you lift yourself up, that's what it says about Satan, how he did. He lifted himself up and he said, I'm going to be like God. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he looked out on the kingdom that he had supposedly created, he refused to give God the glory. But he said, this is my kingdom. This is what I have done. And pride went before his destruction. And he was put out to graze with the cattle for, 7 years or whatever it was, until his God gave him his reason back. And then he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, acknowledge the Most High God. You know, I implore you to worship him and to serve him. God brought Nebuchadnezzar out for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit could be saved and he could be redeemed. He could be brought back to God. And that ultimately is God's will and plan for every one of us, is that we would choose him. We would choose to acknowledge him as the Most High God, the only God. But God has given us the choice of heaven or hell. As it says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That is the sad thing, that, you know, we have the good choice. We have the right choice of redemption, and of serving God, of believing in Jesus Christ. And yet there are so few that choose that right choice, because the grass looks greener on the other side, the road that is broad, that is wide, and that leads to destruction. There are so many, it says, that are going to go in thereat. So the question to us this morning is, which side are we on? What are we choosing? Are we choosing redemption, or are we choosing destruction? The choice is ours. God has given us that choice. Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. That is the beautiful part of it. When we choose God, when we choose to believe God and have faith in God, God becomes our strength. And he helps us to walk right up the middle of that broad, wide way that leads to destruction behind us. God becomes our strength. And we know that those who are headed the other direction, they are headed for destruction, except they repent and except they acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In Luke 17 and Matthew 24, it tells us how that it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were building, they were planting, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were doing all these things until that day. And God says it's going to come just like it did in the days of Noah, the day that the flood came. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be as a strike of lightning from the east to the west. It'll be just like that, and it'll be too late. If you are on the side of destruction, you know, we are in that time right now. We are doing those very things that they were doing in the days of the flood. We are planting and building. We are buying and selling. We are eating and drinking. We are marrying. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But let's make sure that we are on God's side, that we are on the side of redemption, that we know who we believe, and that we know where we are going. In our Sunday school lesson, it talks about having boldness in judgment. I pondered that verse just a little bit this morning. He says in verse 17, in verse 16, it tells us that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And he says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. What does he mean that we can have boldness in judgment? Is that talking about boldness that is lifting itself up like Nebuchadnezzar did, like Satan did? No, not in pride. But it is having boldness, because when you come to judgment and you have committed some crime, something wrong, but you know the judge, and you know the judge forgave you. You know the judge has wiped your slate clean. Well, of course you can have boldness in judgment, because you know the judge. And I believe that's what that verse is talking about, having boldness in judgment. And my friends, I want to choose, by the grace of God, to go on the road of redemption. The only road, the right road, no matter how hard it is. And I so appreciated the emphasis we had this morning. I believe God was speaking to us of us needing to trust him. The front of our bulletin, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Chad's devotional, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In our inside of our bulletin, it talks about the seasons and the times of life that are difficult. Trust God. That is what God is saying. It will get better. You know, in this life, we try so hard to make us have us an easy life. Not going to happen for any length of time. We are going to have the dust and gravel. We are going to have the setbacks. We are going to have the difficulties, because we live on this sin-cursed earth. We have this old flesh that we have to deal with on a daily basis. But it will get better. There is a day coming. God says that day is going to come. And when God says something, it's as sure as if we already had it. God is truth. In Daniel 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." I'd like to notice a few phrases out of this scripture. There shall be a time of trouble. Are we in times of trouble? Absolutely. We have this election ahead of us. We have these shootings going on. You know, we think back to 9-1-1. We are in times of trouble. We are in perilous times, as 2 Timothy 3 says. In the last days, there's going to be perilous times. We hear of earthquakes. We've had tsunamis in different places. It says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We see that happening before our eyes. We see it on the news. It's going on, and it's not getting any better. A nation that doesn't need God is headed for destruction. A church that becomes lax in being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, we fail, do we not? We get so busy buying and selling and planting and building and eating and drinking, our reflectors get dim. We are in times of trouble. We don't know, but we know God knows. It says here, "And many of them that sleep in the earth." That is the next phrase. Out in the grave, in many cemeteries all across this world, this earth, there are people that this is referring to that are sleeping in the earth. It says that they will awake, some to everlasting life, some to redemption, and some to shame and everlasting contempt, some to destruction, based on whether they chose to believe in God, the God that is, in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That will make the difference. In Revelations it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." And previously in like chapter 6 of Revelation, it talks about them calling for the rocks and the earth to cover them because of their fear. He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. They were judged, every man according to their works. Do you believe that their faith had anything to do with their works? Absolutely it did. If they believed God, their works are going to show it. If they didn't believe God, their works are going to show it. So what you believe affects how you live and how you act and what you do. In John 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said that all that are in the graves are going to hear. Going to hear his voice. They're going to listen. And they will come forth. Some to the resurrection of life. And some to the resurrection of damnation. Depending on what they believe. Depending on if they believed in Jesus Christ or not. The last phrase I'd like to look in this scripture is, "And they that turn many to righteousness." They that turn many to righteousness. As we look at this choice that we have, redemption, destruction, and we must choose for ourselves, what is the most important? Is it my redemption? Or is it the redemption of other people, of others? Now, before we answer that, let's look at some scriptures. And I don't know that I necessarily have the answer per se. In Exodus 32, when Moses was on the mountain and he was talking to God, God was writing on the two tables of stone, Ten Commandments, I believe. In the meantime, the people got bored and said, "This Moses, we don't know what became of him." And they asked Aaron to make them gods, and Aaron made the golden calf, and the people worshipped it. Here is a conversation between God and Moses when Moses was still up on the mountain. The Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did you bring them out to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and says unto them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." And Moses went down off the mountain, and they had their thing there, where I think Moses took that calf, and he burned it with fire. He ground up the ashes, and he put it in the water, and he made the people drink that dirty water. And the next day, it says, Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin. And now I'm going to go back, and I'm going to talk to God to see if God will peradventure forgive you for your sin. Make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not," what did Moses say? "Blot me out of your book." If you don't want to forgive them, then just take my name out of your book. Now, Moses was saying that their redemption, the redemption of the people that he was leading, and remember how Moses had fussed about these people and how Moses got angry with these people, and yet here Moses was interceding for them. He was saying, "God, if you can't forgive them, then just take me out of your book. You give me destruction and give them redemption." But God said, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." So God honors the choice that we make. God was giving these people that choice to choose him, to choose redemption. He was not going to put Moses out here in destruction and put these people in. No. Now let's see what Paul said. This is in Romans 9, the first three verses. He said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." We see the same spirit here in Paul, that he could wish that he would be separated from Christ and be accursed and doomed to destruction if the people of Israel, his people, could have redemption in Christ. The same spirit. We had in a Sunday school lesson about trying the spirit. Did that spirit come from God? Absolutely it did. A spirit of compassion, a spirit that cares, that is concerned about the well-being of others more so than its own well-being. That is the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ. Paul also commended the Galatians for accepting him when he first preached to them. And he said that if it would have been possible, they would have jerked out their own eyes and would have given him their eyes a spirit of compassion, a love in a little different way. The words of Jesus in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is this joy that the scripture is speaking about? As I had read that for many years, I had always assumed that this is talking about the joy that Jesus experienced when he left this earth, when he resurrected from the dead, and went back to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. I think it's talking about a different kind of joy. I think it's talking about the joy that it talks about in Luke, where in the parable of the sinner, the one person that repents, it was the parable of the sheep, the one sheep that was lost, and the 99 that were in the fold, and the one sheep, the shepherd left the sheep in the fold, he went out and he found the one that was lost, and he brought it back. And he said, likewise, there is joy in heaven, more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. I believe that is the joy it's talking about. The joy that Jesus experiences when we choose to believe in him. When we choose redemption over destruction. When we choose to be in the fold and we say, within this fence, within the realms, the guidelines of the Word of God, of the Church of God, is sufficient pastor. I don't need any of that stuff out there. But I choose Jesus Christ. And ultimately, the joy will be when Jesus returns again to receive his bride, and Jesus sees the many people who have chosen to believe in him, who have chosen to be redeemed, to be bought back by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That, I believe, is the joy it is talking about in that verse. Not so much Jesus' well-being, but his desire for our well-being. And I believe that is the same thing that Moses and Paul were experiencing. I believe that was from the Spirit of God. And I believe that is the mentality that we as believers should have. And if we have that mentality, then I believe our own redemption isn't a question. It will be well taken care of. When we have that spirit within us that can only come from God, that we are more concerned about the redemption and pointing others, as that scripture said, that turn many to righteousness. We are not pointing them to us. We are pointing them to the Redeemer, the one who can redeem them, the one who can give them redemption, which ultimately is God's plan. And when we have that spirit, our reflectors will be bright, reflecting Jesus Christ. And our redemption is sure in him as we abide in him. I'd like to close with a few scriptures. Romans 2, verses 1 through 13. In verse 1 of Romans 2, he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So that scripture brings it out so clear that what you believe will affect what you do, and it will ultimately determine your destination in eternity. Destruction or redemption, your choice. Closing scripture, Ephesians 1, the first 14 verses. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. There is a lot in that scripture, but ultimately, God is saying this is God's will that we choose redemption to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his love, to the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ. It is God's will that we choose to believe in Jesus Christ. We choose redemption. We reject destruction to the glory of God. Ultimately, that brings glory to God when we choose him. And when we tell others that we turn many to righteousness, that we point others by our life, by the words we say, by the way we do business, the way we live our lives, that we point others to this redemption that we have found in Jesus Christ. May God bless you with a bright reflector in the coming days. Let's kneel for prayer.